Earners, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, that's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait, don't hesitate. I use it, you should go over there and start using it now.
Why pay more for a separate CoQ10 supplement? Enjoy twice the benefits with SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced, from the number one doctor, pharmacist, and cardiologist recommended beet brand for heart health support. The new SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced by Human is now infused with CoQ10. That's essentially like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 ingredients support nitric oxide production, healthy blood pressure, healthy CoQ10 levels, and heart-healthy energy with two tasty chews a day. Plus, SuperBeats Heart Chews Advance are plant-based, so you get heart-healthy energy without stimulants. For a limited time, get a free 30-day supply of SuperBeats Heart Chews on all bundles and 15% off your first order by going to RadioBeats.com and using promo code DEAL. That's RadioBeats.com, code DEAL.
Before we start, rehab is pretty extensive. So the first thing that people have been asking for a long time is like the hardest part of, and even this is what Caesar said, the hardest part of real estate is finding a good contractor.
Right.
So you have a contracting company. Like, what are tips? How does somebody know you fresh, just bought a house, you don't know anything about real estate, you're trying to rehab, you're trying to fix up a home. How do you know, like, a good contractor? Like, how do you vet somebody?
All right, this the only way you can vet somebody without actually knowing what to look for. First and foremost, if you know what to look for, then you'll know if a contractor is good or not just by the conversation. But in our demographic, in our community, it's really word of mouth. That's how you can tell. I mean, you know, if he used a contract and you ask him, like, yo, what's up with the contract? He's like, nah. You know not to use
it.
Right. But if you're like, nah, he official. So and we got word of mouth spreads fast in our community. But the number one way, man, honestly, is to actually get educated. Like, I mean, everybody that's in the real estate business, the contractor, they took a hit off the contractor. I did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Plenty of contractors got over on us.
Yeah, exactly. How do you know if somebody...
The main contractor's going to get over on y'all is like y'all uncles. You know what I mean? Like, nah, my uncle and I do everything.
How do you know if you're getting ripped off?
I mean, in the beginning...
No way to know?
No, it's really no way to know. It's no way to know. Like, man, I'll never forget, me and my best friend, we had a first house at the same time. He decided, by the way, to fix his. I decided to sell mine. I just blew mine out. And I never forget, my uncles and them had did all the plumbing. So his bathroom was done and everything, right?
My uncles in there.
So I came downstairs one day. I'm like, well, where are the pipes coming? Like, this your bathroom, right? Like, yeah. I'm like, well, where are the pipes coming from? No water, no pipes, no nothing. Whole bathroom done. It was like a model home. You know what I'm saying? It was like a mouse, like staged. You know what I mean? How they was able to get over was, one, he was 27, I was about 28. We was kids, not knowing nothing about the business. Two, the water was turned off from the street at the time. So they had a Sunday the impression that they would fix the house, then call the city last to come cut the water on. but it was no plumbing or nothing hooked up. And they just did it like
that. What's that conversation like when you realize that?
I mean, it's bad. You know, it's a bad conversation.
I'm about to like,
it's bad. It's like, but I'm gonna tell you something. In that era back then, it's just what people did, man. People chased the money. They didn't really think that we would make it to this level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
so even, they didn't care about the reputation.
Nah, they didn't care about reputation. But yeah. One thing about that construction, you will learn it through trial and error. Everybody gonna pick something up and try some stuff on their own. They're gonna pick something up and try. Every one of us did that. It probably took me a month and a half to sheetrock this room all by myself. But I can do it. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. But now, once you learn, like, you don't know, you don't cut the sheetrock. If you watch it, once you watch a professional do something, you know what? I just thought about while I'm sitting here. If you got the opportunity to be around some professionals, just go watch. Because if you see how the sheetrock's supposed to be done, and you go to hire somebody if they're too busy, then you know instantly if they're putting it up right or if they're putting it up wrong. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, put the walls up, then it's, nah, you put the ceiling up, then you put the walls up. The walls holding up the ceiling. It's little minute stuff like that that you wouldn't know unless you was in there watching.
Yeah, so like you talk a lot about the phases of rehab. So the first one is finding the contract, and the next one is the demolition. The construction team does that.
Right. First thing is, please, permits. Yeah. Somebody got to be licensed. L&I is not the cops. Yeah. Everybody think L&I is the cops. Like, yo, close the windows, yeah, lock the door. Yo, L&I coming down the street. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yo, the permit. And I fell victim to that.
Those are the expenses that people don't really think about. Like, nah. They know the labor, they know the materials, but the permits.
Paperwork, permits, plans, blueprints. That sounds like something extensive.
Yeah.
Right now, they damn near want plans for everything. In Philadelphia, if I just renovate your basement, they want plans.
What's the pricing on those permits and to get those?
I mean, well, the permits don't cost nothing. Yeah. Pulling permits, they like $50, $280, $180. Now, when you got to get to an architect and you need plans, it costs a little more. It might be $2,000, $3,000, depending upon the job. Now, where the permits get pricey at, and I'm just going to put it out there and talk real, is you doing a house and you don't really have a license. So now you want to use his license for him to get you a permit. Mm-hmm. Then the permit might shoot up to $1,500. This is what people do.
Yeah.
Because everybody don't have the credentials.
So the contractor handles all of that.
The contractor's supposed to handle all of that.
And so what questions do you ask a contractor?
Are you licensed and insured?
Are you licensed and insured?
First and foremost.
First and foremost, and I'm going to tell you why. Because trying to cut corners always seem to revert back to doing it three times. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So cutting corners always revert back to doing it three times, and you look up and you done spent twice the amount of money that you was spending thinking you was going to cut a corner.
Another thing that I think I heard you say, I know Caesar said as well, is that you pay contractors should be paid in phases. Is
exactly.
You agree with that?
And you know what? In this era, people are more protected than we was in the beginning, because when you get funding, they would normally say, okay, back in the day, it's like, oh, it's $70,000 to get it done. They give you $70,000. Well, we know we ain't going to get the job done. We got to get the car and the watch. You know what I mean? Maybe we get the job done later. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So now it's like, okay, one, you got to put your own money up. I don't know if y'all know that. So let's say you get $100,000 to do your rehab, right? The first phase is $25,000. Well, you got to get $25,000 worth of work done. Then they come out and expect it and see it's $25,000 worth of work done. Then they reimburse you.
Yeah,
construction loans are reimbursement loans now,
so
which protects everybody, because now watch this. I'm your contractor, right? You give me $25,000. I don't do no work, right? You burnt out of the $25,000, but you're not burnt out of the whole $100,000. You understand? You got an opportunity to recoup. Now, the banks is not out of nothing because you paid for the first phase.
Gotcha.
So you don't have to mess the loan up. So let's say if a contractor get low on you in the first phase, well, the lender didn't give you no money on the first phase, because as they come and inspect, the work is not done. That's another way you know. Pulling permits will save you too, because you have to get city inspections and you have to get inspections from the bank.
Yeah, you said something about having permits after every phase.
After every phase. So you got to get permits and plans to go in. Right? Demo, alterations. After you demo, they got to come out and inspect it, and you want to frame it. Frame the alterations permit, boom. After you frame it, you get an inspection, then you got mechanicals, electric, plumbing, HVAC. After each mechanical, you got to get electrical inspector to come and inspect the electrical. They put a sticker on your window. This is how it was in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
They give you a sticker saying you passed electrical, then a regular city inspector comes back out and inspects the plumbing and the HVAC. Boom. You get cleared to do that, now you can close the walls. You don't need a permit to close the walls. You just need to inspect. You didn't need a permit for the beginning to start, the demo, the framing, and the mechanicals. After that, once you close the walls up and everything is done, they do what's called a final inspection, sign off on it. And that's it, and you're ready to go.
So like the 203K loan, which is a renovation loan from a bank.
The hardest loan in the world. No contractor wants to deal with that.
Why is that?
It's too extensive and it's too tight. The government, it's not like the government, it's a lot to get your money.
For a contractor.
Yeah, it's a lot for a contractor. A lot of contractors don't like, you got some contractors that just specialize in that. Then you got some contractors, they don't want to deal with that.
So it's great.
Because it's too much easy money.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking to myself. It's great for the person who's trying to get the home, not so great for the guy who's trying to get.
Exactly. Exactly.
So what kind of financing do most contractors prefer? Obviously cash, but the majority of people don't have enough cash to pay somebody. So
right now, people staying away from banks. Like, the reason that the market is not really going to tank, it might slow up and shift, but it's not going to tank because people are not overexposed with these banks. People are dealing with private lenders.
Hard money lenders?
Not really. Hard money and private lending is two different things.
Okay, what's a private lender?
Private lender is just a group of people like us.
Okay.
You know what I mean? We might got $20 million. We're going to lend on it with 8% interest on it, and we're going to make some money, right? Together, collectively, a group of us, friends. Hard money lenders is different. They kind of the same, but they're a little more extensive on the requirements and the criteria. You know what I mean? Hard money lenders come a little harder. You know what I mean? Like, you know, one false move, we own that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's mine.
It's like the mafia.
Yeah.
What about the job, like the materials for the job? Is there a strategy that you use, or are you buying in bulk, or do you?
This is what I do. Build a relationship. I don't care. Don't think you can't build a relationship with a corporation. I spend over $1 million a year in Home Depot. So I got a great relationship with them. I'm getting everything with like a 3% markup on some things. Mm. So where, let's say sheetrock costs $11 a sheet, I'm paying like $7.30.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I get discounts because the more money I spend there, the more discounts I get.
How'd you establish that?
I went through what's called a Pro Rewards account. And I get 2% off of everything I spend every 6 months. So if I spend $500,000, I get 2% of that. In 6 months, and I spend another $500,000, I get 2% of that. So I get that, I get discount on paint. But it's just for everybody. Like, these are just programs that they offer. Mm-hmm. When you're a contractor, you got to get into, you can't just go in there and spend money like an everyday person because you're spending a lot of money. You want to get the discount. So you want to find out what programs are available.
Dope. So what is the most important part of rehabbing a house? Like, is it the walls? Is it the floor? Like, what's going to make the house the most valuable? Kitchen?
The kitchen, the bathrooms, the exterior, curb appeal, the extra amenities, finished basement, hardwood floors throughout, what kind of tile you use, what kind of light fixtures you use, just the little stuff that catch people eye. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I could strip a house down to the bare bone, right? Strip it all the way down. That's what we do. We strip it all the way down to the brick and frame it up and do all new electric, plumbing, HVAC, everything, sheetrock, everything brand new. And people have noticed one little nick on that wall. Oh, what's a little paint smudge right here? You know what I mean? I just rebuilt this whole house. Like, I had a guy, we had built a deck one time, and the back of the deck had leaked. And he called me like, yo, he was like, yo, you gotta get down here real quick. I'm like, what's the matter? He's like, it's leaking in here. So I come, I look at the back of the deck, it's leaking. I mean, he irate. What are we gonna do? So I said, he said, man, what are you laughing at? I said, you watch me build this whole house from shit. Excuse me, from nothing. And you complaining about that little teeny leak. And that's how I was able to calm him down. I'm like, bro, you watch me build this whole house. Like, this was a bandominium. You know what I mean? Like,
a bandominium.
You know what I mean?
A bandominium.
You watch me put it back together. You know what I mean? But people, like I said, people only see the small things. They can see, oh, it's a nick in the wall. Oh, this is crooked. And we just built this whole entire house. You know what I mean? So
from a contractor standpoint, because you're interesting because you're an investor and you're a contractor, right?
Right, right.
So we talk about a lot of, I realize we've never really looked at it from that standpoint. Right. Like, from a contractor, like, how do they go about as far as structuring their business model? Like, you have a, like, how do they find clients? How do they, like, navigate?
A lot of time clients, let me just real quick, because I'm going to tell you something about contractors. This is how we lose big with contractors. A contractor give us an estimate. I want $100,000 to fix your house. And you beat them up. No, I can't do 100. I could do 62. 62, I can't do it for 62. I can do it for 95. Man, I can't. I could do it for 62. That's it. The man commit to $62,000. You give him a deposit, what do? Never come back. Right? You know why? Because there's no way he's gonna get the job done for $62,000. He told you how much the job costs.
Yeah.
But he took the money. A lot of times you get contractors that take a deposit and just use jobs like that as cash flow. Like, you know what? I'll make the difference up somewhere else. I just need this money right now, so forth and so on. But if you get a GC that come through and give you the number, instead of beating up on them, just get a couple of estimates. If it's in the same ballpark, do not try to knock that man down so you can go home and say, yo, I got him to do it for 62. And then next week you ain't heard from him no more.
They go, you're 62.
Exactly.
So when you do these full gut rehabs, right, and you walk in, I mean, visually, you're seeing how you're going to landscape this thing out. Is there an architect that works with you? Like,
not me.
Who's doing
not
that?
Not me. Everything you see in my house is me. When I gut a house out, like if I rip this house out right now, if I rip the building out in, like I can visualize where every room where I want it at. I've been doing it that
long. Once you walk in.
Yeah, like I'd love for y'all to come down one day and see me do it.
Come down and run with me
and see me do it. But I could rip this whole house out and just be like, as a matter of fact, if you look at my Instagram, you'll see me laying out.
That's what I'm saying. I'm
That's what I do. I visualize.
When you walk in, you visually seeing, like, you know what?
I can see it.
Open floor space. That's going to be two bedrooms up here. We're going to put the basement. We're going to add a wall.
Yeah.
Once you walk in?
Well, when you do so many of them, most of them become a cookie cutter. It's four or five different styles.
Okay.
When you do so many of them. You know what I mean? I'm doing hundreds of houses yearly. You know what I mean? So I got stuff going on in different cities that, in Cleveland, I don't knock no walls down. I keep the structure sound. I keep in Philly, they call for open floor plan. When they walk in that front door, they want to see the back door, which is easy because we don't have to spend all the money on these partition walls.
Mm-hmm.
We knock every wall down on the first floor. You open that front door, you can see out the back. You put the kitchen in the back, put a half bath on the side, and that's it. And you come out of there.
Yeah, when we spoke to Season Envy, they were like, they have a standard, right? They don't, when they do something rehab, they keep the same paint, so everything is very easy for them. Is that a strategy you use, or you try to make it?
Yeah, I got my own paint too. Big Business Gray, and it's at Home Depot.
Oh, word?
Yeah, Big Business Gray. So it's a grade I use called Big Business Gray. It's made by PPG Paint, and you can get it. And it's the ceiling white is called Sky's the Limit White.
Mm-hmm.
And I paint all my doors a signature red. It's called Paris Apple Red. It's named after my granddaughter and my daughter. So, and these legit paints. These legit paints that sell at Home Depot.
Dope.
So you're like I said, you're like on a chessboard, you're the red and black. You're both. You're an investor and you're a contractor. It gives you an advantage because you can look at a house and say, okay, I know this is how much it needs to be fixed up, because you're the one that's fixing it up.
Right.
But for the average person that doesn't have any knowledge of that, budgeting, like how do you see a property and say, okay, this is a good buy, or this isn't a good buy? Because you don't really know.
All right, let me tell you. Anything that you could turn a profit on is a good buy. Remember, I told you, it has nothing to do with the structure of it or nothing. Let's say you and I buy a house today for $20,000, and we don't know nothing about it, how much it's going to cost. We got $100,000 to fix it. We find out tomorrow he come through as a contractor and say, it's going to be $200,000 to fix it. Well, that's $100,000 budget, right? But we paid, what I say we paid for, $20,000? We list it for 50. If somebody gives us 40, we make 100% interest on our money. There are ways. It's 1,000 ways to skin this cat. The biggest part about real estate is ownership. The second you own it, you got so many angles to ping off of. Prime example, if you and I buy something for 20, we know it costs 200 to fix it, but it's going to be worth 400, and we stand to make 200,000 profit. Well, guess what? I could tell somebody, hey, give me 200,000 to fix this house. I'm going to give you back three. I'm still making 100 grand minus the 20 I paid for it. I made 80 grand. And I ain't spend none of my money but 20 grand. But I gave somebody 50% interest on their money.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many ways with this game. You can sell it as is, or you and I can get a loan to fix it, put the 200 grand into it, and it's worth 400 grand and make the 200 or 180 profit. So it's so many ways. The main thing is ownership. You gotta buy it. You buy it, you good. You buy this building right now, and guess what? If we go belly up, we can refinance it. We don't want to sell it. We need to stay here. We're going to refinance it. Pull that money out, make a move. You know what? We don't want to refinance it. We're going to sell it. We're going to do whatever with it. We can get an investor coming. Hey, listen, I want to Airbnb this house. Give me $50,000, and we're going to be partners on it. There's so many ways that you can flip it once you have ownership. Once you own it, you in the game.
That's the key.
So how do you know if something needs, because you say you fully demolish everything. How do you know something doesn't really need to be fully demolished, or it just needs a little bit of work?
Like when you do a partial rehab.
Man.
Is there any partial rehab ever a good rehab?
All right, listen.
No.
All right, listen. I'm going to be honest with you. So, and slower, and markets that's jumping, like in Jersey and stuff, I would definitely demo everything out. If they think they got a great comp now and they just doing light rehab, they could set the market if they rip everything out to the brick. If they rip it out to the brick and do everything crazy over, they could set the market. They'd be super rich.
Set the market. That's like set the market comps?
I set the comps. I don't care. Nobody can't tell me, oh, the comps is only this in this neighborhood, this. Listen.
You made them.
I make the comps. Everywhere I go, I make the comps.
How does it, all right. So you make the comps by, how many houses does it take in a neighborhood to make a comp?
Like one.
Really?
One house. Prime example. If I went to Cleveland and I'm buying houses for 15, I'm selling them for, I'm buying shells for 15. Well, housing need work for 15. I'm selling them for 85 with 20 down. People are asking me, who am I selling them to? What happens is I sell them with 20 down. I do the construction for them and I'm the mortgage company. So I might put, let's say if I put 20 into them, I'm all in them 35. People give me 20 down. I'm 15 out of pocket. They still owe me $60,000. They pay me $500, $700 a month mortgage.
So once you sell the first one.
Once I sell the first one for $85.
It sets the trend.
It sets it.
Yeah.
So normally.
And you might even own the next three on the block.
I own the whole block. But I'm going to tell you how it goes. That's because people are following. And the thing is this. I'm not really looking to really flip. I don't want my clients to flip. When I sell to my clients, it's a buy and hold. Because I might sell you yours. Like in the beginning, I was selling them for 50. Then it was 65. Now it's 85. So now my people that was in for 50 are trying to sell to make their 35,000 profit. Mm. Next month, when I feel like changing the comp to 125, my 65 people going to be able to sell. And then so forth and so on. I just keep elevating. And it's, and the thing is, ownership is how I did it. If I buy enough, if I own, I own over like 500 doors in Cleveland. No exaggeration. We own almost 500 doors, right? So if I list, if I put everything on the market for sale that I own right now for $100,000, anybody else that bought something for $10,000 gonna think they're entitled to $100,000. So we all put them up for $100,000. Guess what the number is? $100,000.
That's the new number.
So that's interesting. Is that controlling the comps or manipulating the comps?
That's not manipulating the comps. Is if you my man and I buy a house for 20 and I sell it to you for 85, that's manipulating. There's people from all over the world calling me to buy these properties. But this is why they calling to buy them. So even though I'm charging 85, they give me 20,000 down and their mortgage payment is 500 a month, right? But I want you to understand that their rental income is 1600 a month. So if they get 800 for each, because these are two families I'm selling. They're getting 800 for the upstairs, 800 for the downstairs. They're getting 1600 a month. They pay me five. Let's say me five, then property management, 150. Let's say they're walking with a positive of $800.
This is we're talking like
this
Cleveland?
This is in Cleveland.
What's the taxes like?
A couple hundred dollars a year.
Nothing crazy.
Yeah. So let's say they make an $800 positive cash flow, right? Off of a $20,000 investment. Like that's $9,600 a year. In 2 years, they make all their money back. Mm. What happened to the 30-year mortgage? We just shrunk that up. Ownership. 3 years, you own it. Mm. You got all your money back. At least you got all your money back.
You used to get it in Ohio.
Because I saw you said,
and we ain't even talking about the refi. I ain't even laid a refi game down. That's just me saying you end something free and clear. You own it. Or you end something not necessarily free and clear because they still owe me a balance. But they got all of their money back out of it.
So that's why you say comp should be your starting point, not your bottom.
Exactly. You saw me say that?
I did.
So I'm talking about your homework.
We do a little homework.
Your homework, huh?
We do a little
homework. So one other question I wanted, because another video I saw that was really dope a while ago that you did, you said the process is you buy it, you flip it, you buy it, you fix it up, you refi, then the escrow, then you sell. Can you explain that?
Say it again with the
so
escrow.
So you buy it. You buy a property, you fix it up, and then you refi the money. You put that the refi.
Oh,
money
okay,
in
okay,
escrow,
okay. I got
so
you.
So it saves you time.
This is how you do it. This is what I meant by that. So you buy a house. This is basic. Buy it, fix it, refinance it, rent it. So let me give. I got to give you everything in numbers.
Okay.
Right. We buy for 100. We fix for 100. We in it 200. It appraises at 400. We pull out 70%, which is 280. Right? So we pulled out 280. We was in at 200. We got $80,000 that we up on the refi, right? Our payment is 2,800, 1%. So our payment is $2,800 a month. We take 28,000 of that 80,000 and put it in escrow, so you know you good for 10 months,
mm-hmm.
right? The second month in, you rent it out. You probably ain't gonna get $2,800 a month rent due to this market, but we gonna pull that 80 out anyway, because that's what we do, right? It's truth. So, but what you wanna do is, if you put that 28,000, you up 10 months. So even if you rent it out for 1,500, that'll overlap. You understand? And that'll give you some buying time while you taking the other 60, whatever, $1,000 left and you turning it. That's what I meant by escrow, because what happens is, people refi, take that money out, and think they're gonna put all the money in one bank account, and every month they're gonna take their money from that bank account and pay that mortgage. Well, they get to spending that money and reinvesting that money. Everyday life happens, and you look up, they don't have that money or the mortgage money. So I would escrow at least 10 months, so I know I'm good for 10 months. You gotta give yourself a cushion. Yeah. Everyday life happens.
So do you believe in buying and holding, or just?
I'm all buying and holding now that I'm older.
Okay.
My kid probably he probably can't wait to flip all his houses. But when you get to a point like me, man, I'm 44 years old. I've been in the game since I've been 28 years old, and I sleep 4 hours a day. Like, I barely sleep with my wife. I see my wife like 1 week out of the month. You know what I mean? Like,
shout out to Nacho Banger.
Like, bro, yeah. That's my boy. Yeah, that's my boy. Yeah, that's my young boy.
That's my guy.
That's all he wanted to do was dance all
day. He sat in this chair a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that's my boy. So when you get to that point, man, you got to kind of sort of figure out, one day, you know, I won't be able to go out and kill my food to bring it home for the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So I got to kind of sort of have a machine set up in place. And the thing is, my kids love me and they follow me. But my son, you know what I mean? I don't want to leave this earth and I leave my children in debt. You know, if you got an extensive portfolio, but you refied everything and you bringing in 30 grand a month, but your mortgages is 22, man, you work for the bank, man. Mm. You know what I mean? You work for the bank. My kids walk with $8,000 a month. Now, when I leave here, whatever I leave them, I want them to, if they don't feel like working, they don't owe nobody nothing. You know what I mean? And that's what we got to get into. Like, if you want to be in this business, you cannot get into becoming an entrepreneur to be in debt. Entrepreneurs, you know, we're not supposed to work for each other. I mean, work for anybody. That's why we become entrepreneurs. But I mean, if, like I said, if you're bringing in $30,000 rent roll and you paying $22,000 out because you got $4 million in loans, you know what I mean? You work for the bank. Because if you don't believe me, don't go out there and pay it. And see what happens. See how much of an empire you really own. I know people that's, man, listen, man, I know groups that's buying and building crazy $50 million lines. What happens if something happened to them? Their kids got to step up and what? And be liable for that? Their next of kin is liable for that stuff, or they're going to lose everything. So everything they built, you know, when you weren't teaching your kids, you know, to go to college and do this because you thought you had them, and then you look up one day, something happened to you. How many of us know our friends that parents left them stuff and they messed it up, they blew it? Because you know why? The parents never told them the business. They didn't care about the business. The parents thought they had it to the point where they could just leave them the money. We were never taught maintenance. You got to be taught maintenance.
Yeah, I don't even know people who parents left them anything. So that's dead. You got to have the curve. You know what I'm saying?
Like, right? We breaking the cycle right now.
Yeah, we're going to be the parents.
Yeah, I was in a meeting with somebody, not to get long with. I was in a meeting with somebody last week, and he was saying, yeah, I just want to, you know, I'm not going to leave. Man, listen, if I get $100 million, I'm just going to leave my kids this percentage, and I'm not going to leave my kids all this money. I don't want them to be spoiled. And I just straight up looked at him and asked him, like, then quit. What you working so hard for? You got enough for you, right? If you got enough for you and you feel that way, take $2 million, put it in some kind of IRA or something until you do have kids and they do get older, and quit. Like, what's the use of you making $50, $100 million? You say you're going to leave your kids $2 million apiece so they can struggle.
Hustle for your last name, man.
You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy.
That's a fact. All right.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.